Your name?
Carlos Quiroz.
You run the popular blog Carlos in DC, and we're out here at the Pride Parade. But you've been working on an issue while you're a local blogger in the election in Peru. Talk about what's been going on with that recent election and what you've been covering.
Yes, actually, my most popular blog is Peruanista, which is mostly in Spanish, which allowed me to influence in some way in the Peruvian elections. I reach out to grassroots organizations, especially youth groups in Lima, in order to train them and push them to take action to campaign for the leftist candidate Ollanta Humala, who won the election. And I did this because I care a lot about my first country. I think it's a very unfair nation, and I think we can always contribute to our communities no matter how far we are. I think the result is amazing. Many people in Peru and overseas, Peruvians living abroad, got involved with this campaign, and they organized themselves by spreading the word about the danger that meant to elect the other candidate, who represented more than a political party. It was a corrupted mafia that already governed, that was in the government of Peru in the 1990s as a dictatorship. So this was a great experience, really. I saw people in Peru defeating this multi-million campaign of defamation against Ollanta Humala. All the corporate media was against him. All the interest groups, the elites. As you might know, Latin America is a very unfair region where very few people have it all, and the majority lack of opportunities and they live in poverty. And Peru is one of those examples, and it's a very unequal country. And that's why I decided to spend a lot of my time in the last few months supporting this campaign without any type of financing or funding or any type of political affiliation. My only concern was to promote true democracy and civic participation of Peruvians. And I think a social movement has been born, and it's not just me. I'm one of thousands of people who have used the internet, social media, in order to promote change in Peru. And it's been a great success. I'm really, really happy.
There was an interesting piece in the Washington Post a week or two ago describing the number of Peruvians in this area who went to the polls here to cast their ballots in the election back home.
Yes, actually there are about 300,000 Peruvians approximately living in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, Delaware, Kentucky area. But unfortunately, only one quarter of them registered to vote. And this is because most of Peruvians living in the U.S. are undocumented immigrants. So many people are afraid that, you know, their information will be shared by the Peruvian consulate eventually with immigration officials, which is not true, but the fear is there. And they also don't have the time or the resources to participate. A lot of, you know, as you might know, immigrants, their life is very, you know, tough at some point. I mean, it's a routine of working and home and working and home every day. So there is not much political participation, even though the Peruvian consulate and the embassy have tried to get the Peruvians in the area involved, but only 52% of Peruvians voted this election. So compare 52% of a quarter of the Peruvian community actually voted in Virginia.
And you said, we were speaking earlier, and you said that it used to be they could vote also in D.C., Peruvians living in the U.S. for the Peruvian election?
Yes, I have this impression that the Peruvian consulate in the whole country in the U.S. have a very elitist and a very narrow vision of how to reach out to Peruvians, because they moved elections to Virginia, which is a very anti-immigrant state today. And many Peruvians, like I said, are undocumented. So most likely they did not go to vote because of this matter. I mean, people are afraid. People don't want to, you know, expose themselves, especially if this year the elections were not mandatory overseas.
this is Peru follows a series of Latin American countries moving left. You know, you have Chavez in Venezuela and a number of others. Are you surprised? You still have others that maintain, right? But Peru seems to be following a pattern here.
Well,
like Morales in Bolivia.
Right. One of the things that, you know, unfortunately the U.S. corporate media has done very well is to portray the progressive movements in Latin America as enemies of the United States, or that every leftist government in Latin America is pro Hugo Chavez, and that's not the case. The left in Latin America is a new movement that is very diverse and is, you know, made up of many different ideas. It's not just socialism, it's not just leftist movement, it's independent, center left, it's indigenous movements, it's LGBT groups. It's made up of people who are tired of the corruption and the inequality, and they just want a new type of government. Now, I don't believe that Ollanta Humala will follow the path of Hugo Chavez. I think Peru and Venezuela are totally different realities when it comes to the economy, with the racial composition and the culture of the population. So no, I don't think it's gonna be a Hugo Chavez ally. Actually, its closest ally has been the Socialist Parties of Brazil with Lula da Silva and current President Dilma Rousseff. Actually, Humala has already met with them this week. He's traveling to Paraguay and Argentina and Uruguay and Chile this week. And later on, he's going to Venezuela, Colombia, Bolivia, most of whom are already, you know, run by leftist governments. And what you see happening in Latin America is that because the U.S. government still has this Cold War mentality that assumes that any leftist government is an enemy of the U.S. interest, is losing its influence in the region. When I think the Obama administration, was the smartest thing that it can do is to approach respectfully these governments and treat them as partners, not as, you know, the backyard of this country. And that's the greatest thing that is happening right now. Latin America is saying, we don't want to be seen as, you know, as the source of natural resources and cheap labor anymore. We want equality, you know, we respect each other. And I can tell you, those governments are not anti-US. They are anti-imperialism, anti-colonialism, and which has been the pattern of the relations between the U.S. and Latin America for centuries.
What do you think the election in Peru will mean going forward for the people of Peru? Obviously, if you put so much time and energy into it, there's a lot at stake in this election.
It's a historical election because Peru and Mexico has been the strongest colonial societies in Latin America. It's the two places where the European contact started in Latin America and has been the most conservative societies. So we see that in South America, only Colombia and Chile are still run by right-wing governments. Even Colombia is getting closer to Venezuela every day. So what I see is with the victory of Humala in Peru, you're gonna have a chance for South America to integrate itself even better. And I can see a few years from now, probably becoming one nation. I think the plans are there with UNASUR, which is a community of nations of South America. And the leadership has been taken by Brazil, basically. And Brazil is telling South American governments, you can have any ideas you want, you can have any type of government you want, leftist, rightist, but we can work together and work to protect our interests in this globalized world.
Can you talk about the response to your work here versus, you have a number of readers of your blog in Peru as well?
Actually, I have more popularity as a blogger in Peru than here because most of the Peruvian community in the U.S. are very conservative minded. And they usually don't like for me to talk about these social issues because they believe I am damaging the international image of our country. They say it's best to keep it quiet, and they have a very narrow mind about, you know, what we Peruvians abroad should do. But Every year, the support is growing for my blog here in the U.S. I am impressed when I went to these elections, people walk up to me and they say, I really appreciate what you do. Thank you so much. And that means a lot to me. But in Peru, I had no idea because I decided to take a break from my blogging work. It was very exhausting after a few months. So I posted a message saying, I'm going to take a break. I'm tired. I need to focus on my own, life for a minute. And I got this huge feedback of people that I had no idea that they read my blog and they say that the work that I've done meant so much for them to get motivated and participate. And, I'm extremely happy about it. I think a social movement has been born in Peru, a movement where people are participating, college students, community organizations, independent groups. It's amazing. And sadly, the U.S. media hasn't reported on that, but I can tell you, Peru is a changing country for the better.
How often do you get a chance to go back?
Well, the last time it was probably 3 years, and after that I lost my visa, so I overstayed my visa. Right now I am undocumented here, and I am trying to fix my immigration status. And that's the next step of my blogging process, because I'm going to write about what it means to be undocumented and living in the shadows, and do the things that I do with limited resources, but which has impacted my life tremendously. So whether I get to stay or not, I'm going to continue blogging. I think I have already something that I can continue doing. It means so much to me. But I'm going to focus on fixing my immigration status in the next few months. And yeah, I already have the support of some people in that sense.
How did you become a blogger?
Basically, I needed to express my opinion about different issues. One of them was me being an immigrant in D.C. and seeing that the corporate media here hardly ever reflect our voices, our opinions, and the same thing in Peru. So it was just a way to say, hello, we're here. So I'm going to bring the stories that usually are not covered by corporate media because it's necessary.
Carlos Quiroz, if you have any final thoughts, I'd love to hear them. Thanks for your time, and thanks for letting me interrupt you. You've got a video camera and a camera on you, and this is a big event that you're covering. So thanks for your time.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you so much for the work that you guys do with fightback.org. And I'm always following the things that you guys do. It is important that people participate and not afraid to get the word out of whatever ideas, opinions they have in mind. And I'm enjoying this Capital Pride today. It's a big block party in D.C. Thank you so much for interviewing me.
Thanks so much. Woo.